Welcome to the Irish Tech News Podcast, where we will bring you some of the most interesting interviews and features from the world of tech. Visit irishtechnews.ie and check out our podcast section to explore all of our previous episodes. You can subscribe to our podcast using whatever your favorite app or service is by visiting anchor.fm/irish-tech-news.
Hi, welcome to today's podcast. Who have you got in today's podcast?
Hi, my name is Ashley Shack, and I'm the sustainability lead at Dogpatch Labs and also the program manager for the 2050 Accelerator.
Before I talk a bit about your background so you know who you are.
Sure, yeah. So my background is both professionally and academically in sustainability. I did some postgrad research into corporate sustainability initiatives in emerging markets. And then professionally, I've done a lot of work in the public sector, working for nonprofits, NGOs, and most recently, the United Nations. So with the UN, I ran a bunch of different sustainability accelerators and incubators, which is then how I made my way over to Dogpatch, which is Ireland's leading startup hub.
And I guess your experience working with the UN, they'll have plans for the next 20, 30 years. So you'll know what's coming down the line. So when you're working here at Dogpatch, you've got that idea. In 10 years' time, this is going to be a thing. We've got to be ready for that.
Exactly. The joke is always, so the UN has something called their Agenda for 2030, and our program is called 2050, aligned with the EU net zero goals for 2050. So I always said I joined Dogpatch to give myself an extra 20 years, basically, to do work on that sustainability agenda.
Because I think that sustainability right now, seen recently, is going to become the next big, it's going to become more important.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I was going to school, even like a decade ago, saying I was studying sustainability. It's impossible to find jobs then. But people would always tell me very encouragingly, they're like, you know what, this is going to be a big thing. We don't have a job for you now or yet, but this is going to be huge. So I'm very happy we're at that point now where there are sustainability jobs and it is a big thing, you know?
Like I'm seeing a company like, for example, Apple, who've made a thing that everything on the product is going to be net zero.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, my hope as a sustainability lead here and just someone who's passionate about it is that sustainability will become so integrated into an overall strategy or business plan that you don't need to have like a CSR team. You don't need to have a sustainability department. It's just going to be integrated into finance, into marketing, into biz dev, all of it.
It was like years ago when trying to get women to go into tech and you wouldn't get that. And then finally the company realized everything we do in the business has to be about getting women more involved. And same with now with the sustainability, as it built into everything we do.
Exactly. Yeah. And that just makes sense, you know, and even just like on the woman point before it was getting women in tech. And now that there are more women in tech, it's even more like we can be even more inclusive. You know, let's be intersectional about that. Let's look more into diversity and everything. So I think we're at a really exciting time right now, especially in Ireland and in Dublin, because originally I used to say San Francisco because I'm originally from Cupertino, and growing up, no one knew where Cupertino was when I was outside of the Bay Area. Now, fortunately, it's on the map now, thanks to Apple.
Yeah.
But I grew up in the Bay Area, you know, so I had that entrepreneurial, I guess, mindset and influence from the very beginning and everything. My dad, actually, he was one of the first people to work at WebEx and stuff. So I was kind of just a natural thing. And then when I moved here, it's so exciting to see that same energy, that feeling that like anything is possible here in the tech ecosystem, that I imagine it was like for my dad when he was in WebEx, basically.
Because Dogpatch Labs right now, they've got that. When you ever walk in here, I can feel it all around me, entrepreneurial spirit. And the hunger to get somewhere.
Exactly. It's almost palpable, right? Yeah. And it's great. It's so exciting to be there because I feel like almost, you know, Silicon Valley, other ecosystems like that are so well developed.
Yeah.
It's almost, I felt like it was almost too late for me to make a name for myself in sustainability, innovation and stuff.
Yeah.
But here, anything is possible. We're at this exciting time where we can learn from the mistakes of, let's say, the Silicon Valley and still make a difference here and do it differently here, but still be just as successful,
well,
if
see,
not more.
The thing is here, because we're not in Silicon Valley, you can think, what then the importer here, but make it better.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
and I mean,
Sorry, go on, yeah.
Well, I mean, even just culturally, like, I grew up and spent all my time in America, but coming here, seeing how everyone is so interconnected,
yeah.
that's the strength that, you know, the Silicon Valley doesn't have. And I think that's why things are happening so quickly here.
Yeah.
Everyone's so well connected. Dogpatch, that's, I think, you know, the crown jewels that we can find anyone in any sector, in any industry, and connect them to a startup here. And that's so valuable in the startup industry.
Yeah, I remember a few years ago, I was asked to go to a conference in Utah, tech conference. And I didn't know that Utah was a big startup place, and it is. And I actually was interviewing somebody and said, look, how can it be in a Mormon state when there's certain things that they're not allowed to have, like alcohol and kind of soft drinks? How do they wind down? And why would somebody work in the state that's kind of like that? And I goes, oh, that's not a problem. And when now I'm looking south from Utah, I'm thinking if someone in Utah is a startup is doing very well, and I said they're gonna do it well, because they know how to handle the pressure, maybe a bit more than you can in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, the funny thing is, I know here, like, such an integral part of building your network is going to drinks with people.
Yeah.
But it's funny because in the Silicon Valley, there's been this push that's probably aligned with the wellness push that so many people don't really drink that much anymore. Like, I know a lot of Christmas parties or holiday parties have been pushed to non-alcoholic functions. Like, my brother-in-law worked for Accenture and they did, like, a ramen making class instead of a Christmas party. It is a healthy push. And so I think that this might be controversial, but maybe even 10 years from now, that might be even replicated here, where things aren't centered around drinking after work anymore.
Yeah, a few years ago, I was at a launch of a new tech company's offices, and I went in and I found there's two kegs of beer over there, and you can get anyone during the day. I said, you know you're in Ireland, right? And I said, yeah, and when the keg again, another one changes, and also you go another room, which where you go and talk to somebody, you want to have a meeting room. It's called the whiskey room. But there's no drinking there, but it is just kind of, okay, I like the idea of whiskey, we can go in there and you sit in a barrel chatting to somebody. That's great. But I said to myself, I just couldn't see it. And then I go to other places and then see, yeah, we've got a fruit in the corner, we can have a beer whenever you want. And says, well, I said, I couldn't do that because if I wanted to take a drink, I'm going to work late at night. And I'm not working during working hours. But during working hours, I might have a beer with lunch if I'm going to find a restaurant, but or a glass of wine. But other than that, I can't do that because it's not professional. And I can see that happening more, where you're going to have the idea where years ago you go somewhere like them, pizza and beer. It'll soon be pizza and non-beer because people aren't drinking much anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, I do hope it's like, I mean, it is just back to the inclusivity thing. A lot of people don't drink. It's a religion thing. As we even look to have more international based programs at Dogpatch, that's something we need to incorporate, that people don't drink. And even though, like, what are the top things you bring a tourist to do here? You bring them to the storehouse and you bring them to the distillery. So even then it's like, oh, how do we shift these things around to become more inclusive here?
Well, look at Epic Museum. I was at that late last year, and that's somewhere you can bring them. And drink is mentioned in part of it in some things that we do, but it's not the main thing of it. And that's somewhere you can go. And when you leave, you don't get a drink of alcohol.
Exactly. So the Epic Museum has actually become the main thing we bring people to do. I don't know if the listeners here know where Dogpatch, it's situated in the historic CHQ building, where at one end of the building we have the Epic Museum, which is the story of Irish emigration, the history of Ireland. And then on the other end of the building, we have Dogpatch Labs, which is, we like to say, the future of Ireland, basically. So we have a great partnership with them, and we love bringing people to the Epic Museum.
Well, to me, I look at it and think, well, the technology behind that is amazing, but also, everybody in Ireland has had somebody who's emigrated.
Yeah,
or their family's emigrated. I've got a lot of family that's in America. Some I haven't seen because I haven't been to where they're based. Others I have seen. And it's a great thing. Yeah, well, my family's emigrated. People have emigrated. So forth. And you meet, everyone in Ireland's got at least one family member or family overseas.
Exactly. Yeah. I think I'm Chinese American, so I don't think I have any Irish history, but I haven't checked yet, so I don't know.
Anything apocryphal, because in America you just don't know, because America is a melting pot of all different cultures coming together, so you just don't know. You might find out that somewhere along the line your great-great-grandfather
maybe,
or something, you just never know.
Maybe he's from Cavan or something, we never know.
And if you find that you get a penchant for Guinness or a whiskey, have I got your Irish? Or if you love potatoes, and not as a dumpling, but love potatoes, thinking, okay, look, potatoes. Was it something?
Exactly.
So getting back to top about the about why you talk about labs, tell us a bit more about what actually you do on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, so as the sustainability lead at Dogpatch, I'm in charge of running all of the sustainability-based programs, with the most important one being the one we launched last year, so March 2003, the 2050 Accelerator. And so the 2050 Accelerator is something that's really exciting because it's the first of its kind program in Ireland and also, we think, in Europe. The whole hypothesis was that we can bring global talent here to Ireland and make this country a test bed for sustainability innovation. Because we have lots of resources here on this island. We have a very established tech ecosystem, finance ecosystem, but the talent is where we wanted to bring more people in internationally. So we did that, and it was super successful. Like I said, we launched in the spring. We had our showcase day in September. And so yeah, the first year is done, and we're gonna start the second year in a few months now, and yeah.
Well, to me, it's like Silicon Valley is where everything is based on, but we've taken that Silicon Valley thing and decided we're gonna replicate it here, but do it a bit differently. And like sustainability is going to be how we're going to do differently than Silicon Valley, which I think is great.
Yeah, exactly. And we kind of talked about how sustainability, let's say in the Bay Area or in other ecosystems, is so established. So our accelerator is also different because we're not in the early stages of teaching startups how to start up. We recruit startups that we already know have, or they're well versed in sustainability, like their whole product is based on sustainability. So we don't need to teach them how to do that. So instead, our main focus on this accelerator is really helping accelerate their biz dev. So we really help them work with these big corporate partners that have the resources, they have the customers, they have the influence, but they don't have the ability to work like an agile startup. So we match them up, and then they create pilots.
Because to me, agility is very important, because if you're agile, you're able to just suddenly decide I want to just pivot from there to there without any issues.
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of corporate businesses don't have the ability to do that. Just naturally, they have that bureaucracy, all their strengths, you know, and their size and their resources also lend themselves to issues, you know, that prevent agility. But we have so many corporate partners come to work with us on these accelerators because they want to work with startups. Yeah. So what we do, like what we did with 2050, we recruit these high caliber startups for 2050 around the world. I think it was 7 different countries that we were bringing different startups from, and we brought them here to work. It was over the course of 3 weeks where they worked in person with their corporate partner to really identify that sustainability issue that the company had, and then see how they could use that startup's technology to address it and create those pilot projects.
To me, it's like a Milky Skunk Labs, that you're there doing things that you couldn't normally get to do, and because it's Skunk Labs, you've got many projects on the go. And they can all suddenly change and be agile, move from this area to that area. And then these other guys come in, like in the military years ago when they were developing planes like there was a Blackbird, the plane that can go like Mach 3 plus, that was going up high. That was on the Skunk Works, and it was just on off the shelf. This is a little group that did this. And then the military, this is going to be a go, we're going to go with this. So they would say, we're going to use that in our main reconnaissance stuff worldwide. So these guys, you got guys coming in here, we want something that can do this for us, can you help us? And then suddenly that becomes part of the main project.
Exactly. And you know, the word accelerator, like we're able to accelerate that collaboration, those partnerships, because maybe a big company has the ability to kind of like find and work with a startup on its own, but it'll take a long time. And so we're able to accelerate that process. And through this accelerator, we were able to bring 3 or sometimes 4 startups to one corporate partner, you know, throw a bunch of things at it and see what sticks, see which pilot projects are going to be successful.
And also these big guys have got the money.
Exactly.
You haven't got. So you're thinking, we've got something here, but proof of concept is going to be something you guys can help us with. You can allow us embed ourselves into your company and see how that works. And then if it's working, you've got the ability to say, okay, this is going fine, but we need X, Y, and Z. Can you give us that? And they can do that.
Yeah, and that's why actually, to be honest, it wasn't hard to recruit these really high caliber startups, because every startup wants customers, right? And this was an opportunity for these startups to scale globally and find a new route to market. For most of the startups that were not Irish, this was their first time globally working in another market.
Yeah.
So if we found a startup that was really promising, we loved their tech and the corporate wanted to work with them, it wasn't hard to get them to come here. They all wanted that opportunity for biz dev. A few of them were like, oh, you know what, we have accelerator fatigue. We don't want to just go through these steps again, pitching, all that. And we told them, we explained the process, what sets us apart. The moment we talked about that potential to run a pilot, they were sold.
And to me, I also look at it, because when I look at Ireland, I think Ireland is Silicon Valley of Europe, which people think it is as well. But I think we're like a small state in America. So if the product works well in Ireland, you can say, well, we did a test case in a country that's the size of a small state in America. So that proves if it works here, it can work anywhere else. Because like when you go to America, each state in America has its own rules and regulations to a certain extent.
Exactly. Ireland is actually, fun fact, the size of the state of Indiana,
yeah,
which we say is pretty small in the States. But Ireland, yeah, is positioned in this great way where it's a great jumping off point for European country or European companies and startups to go to the US,
yeah,
or vice versa for American companies to then be able to leapfrog and work in the EU.
Yeah.
So we did have that. You know, we had some American companies who had never worked in Europe before. They're able to test their technology here, and then from there go into other markets, like into Scandinavia. And that's what we mean by making this country a testbed for sustainability innovation. We have the resources, like the companies, the assets here in Ireland. So we want to bring those startups here to test and then from there move across the world. And that's how we really see ourselves having impact and fighting the climate crisis, essentially.
Yeah, and also, we're looking at a country we don't have the bad weather you get elsewhere. We get it now and again, but not as bad as, for example, the moment we have in the UK. So if you're coming here and we have data centers that we don't think keep too warm or too cold because the weather is great for that. And we don't have an idea where suddenly one day we're going to get a big earthquake or it's going to be a huge flood that's going to destroy data centers. So we're looking in that sense.
That's true. We don't have earthquakes or wildfires yet here like we do in California. So we have that stability here too.
Yeah, and we're lucky we have that. I mean, obviously, if you're going to build a data center, we make sure you don't build it near a floodplain. Because in Ireland, there's certain places you know it's going to flood. But luckily, we don't have that scenario where a data center is built by a floodplain. But we've got the ability that we can say, look, if you come here, we know that your communications are going to be great. And also, because of where we are, it's not too far from moving to America. And also, you can do pre-customs clearance at the airports.
My family loves that when they come and visit. But I mean, also, Ireland just has a great rapport with other countries internationally, right? We talked about how, like, everyone, you know, has emigrated. Every Irish person has emigrated. But also, what's so amazing, and we talk about this more on the international development level, but Ireland has never colonized another country. So when we're working in emerging markets, like we're doing work in Africa, the countries trust Ireland. They trust the Irish government. And it comes from this really good place where the Irish government wants to help, you know, other governments and other countries. So that really is one of our strengths too.
I think because we were once a colony, we know what it's like to be a colony. And right now we're just over 100 years old. It has been a free state. And we're now looking at that. And we know that basically, because of that, we know what it's like being that. So we try and be very welcoming. Like I say, Kimi Folger, 1,000 welcomes when you come to Ireland. And that's what we give.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, as an American, I wish it had been the same case with us because we were colonized, but we are a little bit different these days on the global geopolitics scale. But I think it's like we said, you know, Ireland is so interconnected. There's the element of friendliness and collaboration, all those things so important in the startup and even just the tech ecosystem. But, you know, it leads itself to great diplomatic relations. So this is the perfect place to be in startup.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, as you mentioned earlier before, it's such a small community that everyone knows everybody else. So within about 3 months, you know who to know.
Exactly. And we didn't. So we had a startup actually that came here from Connecticut.
Yeah.
They were a spin out from Yale. So they're American. They came here and they were looking for a way to test their tech in a wastewater system. And so we were able to find someone who worked in the Cork Municipal Water, Wastewater Department, because they were cousins of someone who worked at Dogpatch.
Yeah.
So we couldn't have explained this to them before as like, oh, come to Ireland, you know, you can test your stuff. But we couldn't have explained like, oh, you know, you're probably only 1 or 2 degrees separated for someone here. But that was just an amazing example, you know, to all the startups that you know, Dogpatch is super connected, but everyone in Ireland naturally is just connected, and
it's
we can
like
help
six
there.
Degrees of Kevin Bacon.
It's even less here.
Yeah.
In America, it's probably 6 degrees here. I'm not even from here, and I can, like, go stop someone on the street. I'm probably a couple degrees separated.
Yeah, I've had that as well. And a few years ago, I was at a tech event, and it was in the convention center just down the road. And I got chatting to a girl in the queue waiting to click her jackets. And I noticed on her name badge, I said, oh, I noticed the surname. I said, oh, I've got a... I said, I know that surname very well. That's my surname of my dad's first cousins. And she goes, oh, really? He goes, yeah. I says, are you from Monaghan? And she goes, yes. I said, so is my parents. So the father... It turns out her dad was my dad's first cousin.
Oh, my God.
And it was just an uncanny... And then when I was a dad, you never guess who I met. I just met... one of your cousin's daughters.
Yeah.
What? I said, yeah, yeah. And he says, what? And I said, it's a small world. And you get that. A lot of that happening as well. It's kind of weird getting that, but that happens quite more and more. And you might meet somebody, or I'd be somewhere in the middle of nowhere and I meet someone who goes, oh, do you know so-and-so? They do. Or they know someone who does know so-and-so.
Yeah. I know a lot of my Irish friends get annoyed when someone asks them abroad. They're like, oh, you're from Dublin. Do you know blah, 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 blah? And it turns out they actually do.
Yeah, I've had that before. Someone says to me, do you know so-and-so? And I'm going, actually, Ireland is a small country, but we're not that small. And then I'd say, well, hold on a second. And then they name someone and goes, actually, no, but I do know someone who knows that person. It's always going to be that way. And in tech world, it's
even smaller.
Yeah. You meet somebody and he goes, you look familiar.
Yeah.
And then it turns out I know them because I met them briefly in an event years ago somewhere, and I said, yeah, that's how I met you at this event years ago. But you were working with somebody else.
Yeah.
And now you moved to yeah.
I know, and I really think that's such a strength here, because again, you need that strong network to succeed as a startup, as a founder. And here it's just natural. People want that, and they want to give that to you. They want to help you to build that network. So it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, because to me, networking is the most important thing to do. So I always find that if I'm going to a tech event, I always find that nighttime is when you make the most business done, because you're relaxed over a few drinks.
Yeah.
And you're at someone's party, and that's when you make like real contact, not during the daytime, because they're more relaxed and they're more inclined to talk to you. And you're not really talking shop, but you are, but you're doing it in a way that you don't realize it.
Yeah, I know, and it's so easy. People make it so easy to chat and everything here. Like,
yeah.
I would hate to go to a networking event in a country that just doesn't like small talk.
Yeah. They're like, well, you got somewhere to get into business.
Yeah, exactly.
I like in Ireland, we have the scenario that basically, when you go somewhere and you're at an event, like a few years ago, it was an event called Startup Week. Don't know if you heard of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was at one of those, and it was just seeing these guys bare their soul and say why we screwed up.
This is why
we effed up. We did this,
we effed up. Yeah.
And they're talking about it, and they're bare their soul, and then he goes, have a drink and toast them, and says, you can start a fresh. It's like going to confession. You walk out of there and says, okay, your sins are resolved.
Yeah.
But then you're going, yes, but I'll be back here again next week to have done the same sins as before. And it's like, but these guys said, this is what we've done wrong. And then as you're watching this, you're thinking, if you're a startup, you'll know what not to do. They've done something, and they've told what they've done. You know what to avoid.
Exactly. I've learned from working at Dogpatch that the only thing people love more than a successful founder is a failed one.
Yeah.
I think I learned so much from that.
Because I always think if you're going to fail better.
Yeah.
Like, I look at people, like, if you look at, like, Steve Jobs, what he went through when he left Apple, he didn't so much, and then he made a lot of mistakes the year or so before he left. Then he left, and he had to reevaluate what he was doing with things. And then in the end, he ended up forming Next Computers, which were then used to develop the internet. The internet was developed on Next Computer. And also, he invested in Pixar. And then when he finally came back to Apple, he wasn't making mistakes he made before. He was still a hard worker and wanted the staff to do things, work aggressively at things. But he learned from his mistakes. And he said, I'm not going to fail again. And he didn't.
Yeah, but you know, he has this really good saying, and it was in his Stanford commencement speech, actually, the whole, you know, hindsight is 2020. It's easy to look back and connect the dots, but not moving forward. So in the moment of it, you've failed, right? And you're like, how is this going to help me out? It's very easy when you're a little bit more successful in a better space and to look back and be like, connect the dots. This is where all my failures have led me to, you know? So
but that's a great speech. If you get that, watch it on YouTube, because you see this and what he does.
I've watched it. So my parents went to Stanford, so they made me watch that growing up.
Yeah, and every time I meet somebody else, that's a speech that inspires them more, because they then realize, okay, he's been there, done it all. At that point, Apple were doing very well with music and everything else, iPod and iTunes. He invented a new way of e-commerce and everything else, but he managed to do something we couldn't. He managed to make sure Napster was a thing of the past, and he made sure the music could be used online and sold online properly, and he'd done all this. I'm thinking, this is a guy that's inventing, and says he made mistakes early in his career, and I bet him in the ass he's come back and he's got a second chance of life. He's taken it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I shouldn't say that, because he passed away after that, but I mean, he had a second chance to do what... To realize, this is what I did last time wrong, and why I'm not going to do it again, because Apple was always his baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess just before we finish off, when is the opening for the 2050 program? Or the opening, when can you apply?
So we don't yet have an official opening day for recruitment. It'll most likely be in spring 2024, but definitely stay updated on our social media websites for Dogpatch, and then also online at the 2050accelerator.com. We are starting to look at those focus areas and sustainability, and then from there, we're going to start recruiting and opening up that process for startups.
Before we finish off, What advice would you give somebody who wants to apply to join Accelerator? What advice would you give them?
I would say make sure you have a holistic understanding of the impact of sustainability.
Yeah.
Because I'd say so many people have a belief that sustainability is only the green stuff, it's only the decarbonization and everything, but there's a really important aspect of looking at how that impacts society. And I think if you have a better understanding of that, more corporate partners and just potential stakeholders will appreciate that.
Yeah, and also I guess that you don't want somebody who's got a product and they assume it's going to represent sustainability. Like fitting a round peg into a square hole doesn't work. You got to make sure what you have fits what you guys are doing.
Exactly, yeah. And that's why I think it's also really important. We have these really specific focus areas for sustainability based on what the corporate partners want. So also, if you are applying, make sure you know what those are and you can speak to those and how your product really addresses those issues.
Yeah, that note, I'll say thanks for a great conversation and good luck with the Accelerator now and in the future.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the latest Irish Tech News podcast. Check back every day for the latest episode. You can follow us on Twitter @Irish_Tech News, on Facebook, facebook.com/Irish Tech News, on LinkedIn, linkedin.com/company/Irish-Tech-News, on Instagram, instagram.com/IrishTechNews.ie, and on TikTok, tiktok.com/@IrishTechNews.